Welcome to the CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Gerrard. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we're going to talk about the greatest disasters in world history. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
And remember, Phil, It's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rates in some of these disasters, is it, Phil?
No.
We are just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest, if it came in the news, you'd be interested, wouldn't you, Phil?
Absolutely, Phil. Big news is interesting. Puts a bit of spunk into your daily life.
We definitely all need that. What are we banging on about this week?
The Ford Edsel.
Under this canvas cover is one of the best kept secrets in the automobile business. We hope you'll help us keep it a secret until after the public showings. It's the newest member of the Ford family of fine cars, the Edsel. As you may know, the Edsel will be publicly introduced on September 4th. A great deal of planning has gone into getting ready for that day. We have felt for a long time the need for Ford Motor Company to have more effective coverage of the medium-priced field to enable us to reach our competitive goals. By all of us putting our best efforts behind it, we feel that the Edsel program will help us accomplish that aim. And now, here is the Edsel story.
The Ford Edsel. It's a car.
It's a car. Designed by Ford Motor Company.
I don't know anything about cars at all. Are you a car? You seem like you know about cars because you used to work for Honda.
I used to work for Honda. So I know a little bit about, well, I certainly know a fair bit about Hondas from the year 2000 to 2005.
Great year for Hondas.
If you want to know anything about old Civics.
Could you fix a car?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm still dining out on when I replaced a headlight bulb with a TR7 once.
TR7 is a car?
Yeah, my first ever car.
What sort of car?
Triumph TR7 convertible.
Ooh.
Hot. Very unreliable.
Do you mean hot as in sexy, as yes. It all like runs hot?
Sexy. Well, both, actually, really? In the case okay. of this car. Yeah, I blew an engine up.
Really?
Yeah, they're very unreliable. Mm. They were built by Triumph.
Yeah.
Which wasn't really Triumph at that stage. In the mid-70s, it was then British Leyland.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very unreliable. It was shoddily built. But it was a super sexy car.
Mm.
Purdy in the Avengers, Joanna Lumley, she drove a TR7.
Wow, and that was your first car?
Yeah, I was a bit of a fool.
I mean, your first car was a Triumph TR7 convertible.
Yeah.
How old were you?
21, 22.
How did you afford it?
I had a very generous father and mother.
Oh, you see, I thought drug money first, because you were big on selling drugs, weren't you, in the early.
What?
Selling a lot of drugs. What sort of drugs did you used to sell?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know when you used to be a drug dealer?
I don't think I've ever sold drugs.
Just thinking. The fact that you're thinking about it makes me think that you're.
I mean,
a drug
I bought
dealer.
Them.
Yes, we were
in
all
the past.
Bought them. So, how many cars have you had?
Oh my God! Triumph TR7 convertible.
Right.
Morris Marina.
That sounds like a classic car. Is that a classic car?
I actually bought that as a classic.
Really?
Yeah, well, but then I got bored with it and sold it.
Okay.
Vauxhall Astra Estate.
Oh, lovely.
Two Fiat Unos.
Oh.
A Ford Orion. A Ford Mondeo.
Oh, okay.
And, as mentioned, between 2000 and 2005, I worked for Honda.
Yep.
They gave me a new car every 3 months.
Oh, so you used to have pretty sexy cars.
Yeah, I could have whatever I wanted. So I've went through the whole product range, including the best car I've ever owned, which is the Accord Type R.
Oh, lovely.
Which I wanged around a track at 156 miles an hour.
Nice.
Then I got their NSX, which is kind of their attempt at a Ferrari.
Oh, wow.
Got to 183 on a track in that.
Jesus.
Two Volkswagen Polos now in the last 10 years. Both actually my girlfriend's name because they're hers.
Oh, okay.
I just drive them.
So you've boiled all of that car knowledge down into the Volkswagen Polo. That's that's the apex of
that's
car.
The apex. What about you?
Vauxhall Cavalier.
Nice.
Rust-coloured.
Oh, yeah, I know those. Yeah, I remember those, yeah.
I quite like that car.
Yeah, nice car.
I don't remember it breaking
I know
down.
The shape as well. You mean the old shape as well.
The old shape.
Really old shape, yeah, if it's that colour.
I took a prospective girlfriend.
Mm.
I say prospective because...
You took her out in this car.
Yes.
And it didn't happen.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because we went to see Titanic. right? During
was it a drive-in movie?
May as well have been, because we went because there was a thunderstorm when we went to try and get to the cinema in Leamington.
All right,
and there was a you had to drive underneath the railway line, the railway bridge, and that flooded, right?
Oh.
And the Vauxhall Cavalier couldn't go through, couldn't ford the flood,
right?
It got to the centre, the deepest part of the water, and then cut out. So I made her push the car out of the water.
No.
There's nothing else we could have done, because somebody's got to be in it and steer.
How deep was it?
A foot deep?
Knee height? Just
knee
below
height,
the, oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Knee height.
Yeah,
had,
I can see why she wouldn't be too enamoured.
She had to push it out. And then we watched Titanic, and it made Titanic... It made it that much more, that extra bit of...
Oh, you could really relate to it.
It was really visceral.
That, couldn't you? Yeah.
It was really visceral with your legs wet. Sort of Titanic with wet legs. And then I got a 1996 Honda Civic.
What letter did the registration number start with?
Oh, Jesus. R?
Would have been an X company car then. R R stands for Reading, which is where it was registered.
Really?
All of our Honda company and corporate cars were registered in Reading, so they all start with an R.
It makes sense it was a corporate car because it had a walnut dashboard.
Oh, I've had a walnut dash. Love them.
Lovely.
Yeah,
driving a sideboard.
Love it. I think more cars should have a walnut dash.
Absolutely.
I love it.
I think they should have a dresser in the back. Why the fuck not? Yeah, why not? Put out dining table, whack that in the boot.
It's what you want when the airbag comes. The airbag protects you, but splinters of flying wood.
That's right. It's literally like a
hammer into
like
you.
A pipe bomb that somebody's put bolts in. The thing I liked about that car was great.
Mm.
Now, what a trooper that car.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of things fell off that car and had to be replaced. Everything got replaced at some point. But the thing I really liked was I was in Newcastle, and that was when it really gave up the ghost. I was on a top floor of a multi-storey car park in Newcastle, and I started driving. There was this almighty bang, and they just wouldn't go anymore. And then when they came and sort of towed it away, it looked like it had done a shit on the road. There was like a metal shit on the road. Literally like sort of like this rusty metal shit.
Like a dog doing I don't want to go home from the park protest.
Yeah, that's right. It was like, oh, mate, your car's had it. It's done a metal shit. But that Honda was so amazing that I just kept on having Hondas. So
they are very reliable.
Now I've got another Honda Civic.
You have. I've been in it in a very nice car.
Right. Mm. So, Phil, the Ford Edward Edsel.
Yeah.
The Ford Edsel. What was it?
It was a car designed by the Ford Motor Company that didn't sell anywhere near as well as the company predicted.
When did it happen?
Between 1958 and 1960.
Oh, cool. How many people died?
None, as far as I'm aware, but I have no access to the US road accident records 1958 to 60 as broken down by brand of car. Who does?
A, that's unacceptable, and B, looking at the Ford Edsel,
yes,
I mean, it's like a castle on wheels.
It's amazing, isn't it? We'll put some photos up on Twitter,
obviously,
so you've got to see it. It's incredible. It's if you imagine a big 50s American super gullwing type car, it's one
it
of
looks
those.
Like it looks like if you had a crash in the Ford Edsel, you'd find out about it 6 weeks later by letter. Because it's one of those. It's basically got its own driveway attached to the front. It's huge.
Well, you know, that B-52 song, Love Shack, when he goes, "You got me a Chrysler, it's as big as a whale."
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's very much the case of those cars.
And in the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, he calls it the whale.
Yeah.
Because they are these huge, great, like canal boats on wheels.
Ludicrous.
Ludicrous. Give me some background, Phil. How did we get to having a car called the Ford Edsel, which ended up failing so miserably?
Okay, well, I don't think I need to give you any explanation of the Ford Motor Company, do I? We all know what that is. We all know
big
Ford.
Car company.
Yes, but if you're my age,
106,
and in the UK, you'll remember the Escort, the Cortina, the Sierra, the Granada, all glorious cars.
Yep.
In fact, in the 70s, it was weird if you didn't have a Ford. Everyone had a Ford in the 70s. We didn't have a Ford in our family. We had Renaults, but we were a weird family.
Peugeots.
You're a little bit younger.
Yeah, my dad had a Peugeot.
Oh, okay,
My mum had an Astra, which is Vauxhall.
Vauxhall, But in the 70s, it was just...
all Fords.
It was a default.
Yeah.
Just everyone had Fords.
What is it now? I suppose Ford Focus is still pretty much a default, isn't it?
Still pretty much, but you don't see... I mean, if you were driving down the street, I'd say 3 out of 5 cars you saw were Ford.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get the odd Datsun Sunny.
Fucking hipsters.
Yeah. Everyone had a Ford. I may have overplayed it. Like I say, we had Renaults. My mate had a Rover. But where were we?
Right, yes.
I have diverted somewhat there. Because we are talking about Ford in the United States of America in the 1950s. Yeah. Eddie Cochran, Summertime Love. Mm. So let's delve into what was going on in the minds of Ford management at that time.
Okay.
Right. In the 1950s, General Motors brand Chevrolet was the number one best-selling car brand in America.
Right. What does a Chevy look like?
Well, in those days, they look much the same as all cars, don't they?
But 50s cars, they're either flat and spiky or they're bubble-shaped, aren't they?
Oh, these are flat and spiky, I think. Anyway, so the Chevy division sold 1 million more units than second-place Ford.
Okay,
but it doesn't sound too bad, Ford second place. Yeah. The trouble is the next three spots in the top five list of sales also went to General Motors divisions.
Oh, okay.
So in the mid-50s, the Ford Motor Company decided that they actually needed an additional car brand that could try and break this General Motors dominance.
Oh, okay.
General Motors, like I say, they had six separate divisions.
Okay.
I think Ford had two at the time.
Okay.
I mean by that, Phil, a standalone brand that is ultimately owned by another company.
Yeah.
So an example in the UK would be Mini.
Oh, okay.
Which is owned by BMW.
Yeah.
Seat.
Yeah.
Which is owned by Volkswagen.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Bentley. I think Audi owned Bentley.
Yes, so basically they want to make more money, so they put out a new brand.
Yeah. Marketing and research development for this new brand began in 1955 under the code name E-Car.
Love a code name, don't
they? Stood for experimental.
To a certain extent, they're right, aren't they? It is a brand new innovation in cars because nobody's ever tried to drive a fireplace before, which is essentially what this is.
But eventually, the E came to stand for Edsel, because it was named after Edsel Bryant Ford, who was the only son of the company's founder, Henry Ford.
You can have any colour as long as it's black.
As long as it's black.
I've never come across anybody called Edsel.
It's a very unusual name, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never heard anybody. No. You know, I can't think of another Edsel.
In the spring of 1957, Ford began a highly successful ad campaign tapping in to the good old human emotion of curiosity.
Oh, okay.
Or nosiness.
Yeah, so they didn't give them much information.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly it, Phil. The first ads simply stated, "The Edsel is coming." However, you couldn't see this new magic mystery car.
Mm.
No, this made people ravenous. Ravenous, Phil, to see what this magic car is.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, Phil, this is the mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have much else going on
Not
to get excited
much.
About.
No
internet, no mobile phones.
Yeah.
This was a big thing. They had their rock and roll, but that can't cover everything.
Absolutely.
And America do love their cars.
They love their cars. And it's been a long time since the Ripper. Hasn't it?
Yes.
And we got a little while to go before we get to the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm.
So really, not a great deal going on.
No. So what do you do? You fall back onto liking cars.
Tupperware?
Was that American invention?
I've no idea, but if I picture the 50s, it's them skirts that go out, isn't it? Tupperware,
yeah.
And it's like men with crisps racing each other, isn't it?
Men with crisps?
Men with quiffs.
Oh, quiffs.
Men with quiffs. Quifters.
Like two,
quifter men.
Two blokes holding a packet of crisps.
Nah.
Running along.
And they're racing, aren't they?
That's 50s America sorted. As this teaser campaign progressed, they did allow viewers obscure views of the car's shadow and a glimpse of the bonnet. I mean, they were seriously secretive about this, right?
Wow.
Anyone involved with the Edsel was sworn to secrecy, not to leak a word about what was being claimed as being a radically new and innovative motor car. Innovative.
I mean, they might have even thought it was a flying car or something. They could have thought of anything.
That's the kind of era where you wouldn't be surprised, would you?
Yeah.
That's my favourite era of the 50s for inventions.
Anything possible.
It's like, we've opened up technology, let's see what we can do with it. Before kind of budgetary constraints, they just went, could we do that? Yeah.
When was plastic invented?
Oh, it was coming in around there, wasn't it? Bakelite was going out, new plastics were coming in.
So, like, plastic is a proper, we can do anything type thing, isn't it?
These cars were not made of plastic.
But you would imagine if someone said it's an incredible new invention in cars, you wouldn't expect them to unveil it and they're like, it's a car.
No, you would expect, it would either be like a car in the Jetsons.
Yes, you'd be thinking the Jetsons, wouldn't you?
But forget Jetson cars, Phil. Doesn't matter what the Edsel was at this moment. Ford were just very firm. They didn't want anyone to know about it.
Right.
In fact, when the first cars were shipped to dealers before launch, those dealers were required to store the Edsel undercover and would be fined or lose their franchise if they let anyone see it before their release date. That is how secretive Ford were about this.
So, all of this build-up was leading to one thing, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
E-Day!
June the 6th, 1944. Oh, that's D-Day.
That's D-Day. This is E-Day.
It's one letter on, which means 10 years on.
That's right. Oh, have we had F-Day?
Every day.
Every day's F-Day, yeah. Isn't it? yes, E-Day. E-Day was September the 4th, 1957.
Okay.
As an aside, would you like to know what else was going on E-Day, September the 4th, 1957?
Hit me.
In the US, the governor of Arkansas, Orville Faubus.
What a name.
I mean, it doesn't even... That seems like letters you've pulled out of a Scrabble bag, doesn't it? Orville Faubus.
Not enough people called Orville.
Where were the Faubus family from? They from Mars? Orville Faubus called out the National Guard to stop nine black students from entering a Little Rock High School.
I remember learning about that. Yeah.
That was very famous. What were they called? Can you remember? They were called the Little Rock. Were they called the Little Rock Nine? Maybe, I don't know.
Something like that. Or that's a rock and roll group. I don't know.
I did listen to Little Rock Nine. Yeah. Oh, rock around them not being allowed in the high school. In the UK. There was. In the UK, there was the publication of the Wolfenden Report recommending homosexual behaviour between consenting adults in private should no longer be a criminal offence.
Okay.
The number one single on this day in the UK was Diana by Paul Anka. Any idea?
No idea.
Oh, it was this. But that's digressing. That's where we were, anyway. 50s Britain is very different from 50s America.
Yes,
it?
Listen to our smog episode.
Yes, that's right. 50s Britain's an awful lot more sort of austere and smelly.
Smog and coat hangers.
Yeah, exactly. It's not sort of like... It's not trying to have sexual intercourse with Peggy Sue underneath the bleachers, is it? No, it's much more sort of tuberculosis. But I digress. Forget all of that. This is E-Day, right? The day that Ford take back control of the automotive market.
Go, Ford!
Or at least make a bit more money. All that hype that we talked about brought people out in record numbers to see the cars unveiling.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, because there's no Netflix.
Yeah, there's no making a murderer.
There's no making a murderer.
There's no badly reviewed Maddie documentaries.
No, you've got to go outside and look at a car. And they did see it and promptly left without buying it.
Oh.
Because it was a fireplace on wheels. Right from the off, people weren't keen. And I can see, looking at a picture of it, it is quite a...
Yeah. You would awake quickly at night if you'd have dreamt it.
That's right.
Like a big bug.
It's like... You know how, like, Christine, that car?
Yeah, it's that sort of car, isn't it?
It's that sort of car, but Christine looks big and bold and brash and angular and sort of evil, which is why, of course, he made it. But the Ford Edsel is all of those things, but, like, no.
It's really ugly.
It's really ugly, sort of. It's more like Sloth, isn't it, from the Goonies. It's sort of like... looking car. It's like, it's sort of big, muscly, but also sort of thick and kind of... I don't know.
It's sort of got facial disfigurement.
It's facial disfigurement car. It's been punched in the face. Okay.
It's a car that's done 12 rounds with Anthony Joshua.
It really is, isn't it? It looks like it's a bit punch drunk, this car. So a month after the launch, Ford... And just as an aside, Phil, if you were the head of a big corporation and 1 month after launch you realised that your product wasn't selling as expected, what would you do?
Well, I'd probably take out newspaper adverts. I'd try and cut costs.
Well, what Ford did is they funded a variety TV show on CBS known as The Edsel Show.
Oh, of course. What did I think of that?
It went out on October the 13th, 1957 and included lots of promo for the Ford Edsel in between appearances by
Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, Rosemary Clooney, Louis Armstrong, Lindsay Crosby, and the Four Preps.
Thank you.
This is the X Zone. This is the X Zone. This is the X Zone Show.
So if that's not going to sell a car, what will?
Don't see what the problem is.
I don't see what the car. What the point is?
Seen old Louis? I'd have been straight out.
I'd have been straight out as well.
Louis likes the car. I like the car.
Imagine if now,
who buys this car? Like,
the new Vauxhall Astra just had its own TV show.
Yeah. Yeah, but think of the crap celebrities you'd have now. It'd be Stacey Solomon telling you to go and buy this.
Yeah,
new...
that's right.
I mean, I like Stacey Solomon.
It'd be Dan Snow, yeah. I suppose. Dan Snow.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful car.
It's a great impression of Dan Snow.
Well,
even Bing Crosby couldn't sell that car.
Oh, what a shame.
There's lots of reasons why it didn't sell. Not least of which was that the car was considered ugly.
It really is.
It had a bizarre front grille.
Oh, God, it did.
Now, it's the front grille that I think is really the problem,
yeah,
isn't it? Mm. I mean, it sort of goes along and then goes round a bit and then goes along again. It's a strange thing.
Well, most grilles are kind of horizontal, aren't they? They kind of run from one headlight across to the other.
And it's like, it's a meaty part of the car. Mm. That's your, hello, that's the face of the car, really, isn't it? That's your car's face. And this, it looks like it's been punched in the face. It's got a big old cold sore.
Well, it's vertical, isn't it?
Well, the middle part's vertical.
Yeah. It's sort of, it's... They thought, you know what we'll do? We'll take the front of the car, but rather than run it along from headlight to headlight, we'll just squish it up in the middle.
Yeah.
It looks like a toilet seat.
Yes, it does.
That's what it looks like.
Okay. Automotive critic Dan Neal said it looked like a vagina.
Oh, get that as well.
It does look like a chrome vagina.
It does look like a chrome vagina.
Is, again, fabulous name for a band. we'll put a photo of the chrome vagina on our Twitter account so people can see what we mean. I think it looks like a vagina. I suppose it does.
I suppose it does a little bit.
It's definitely something.
It looks like a horse collar. You know, you get those collars you put on horses you see in Western films.
Yeah,
kind of looks a bit like that. I mean, admittedly, a toilet seat and a vagina are probably more user-friendly terms.
Than a horse collar.
Yeah, horse collar.
Okay. The car being considered ugly was only the most obvious turn-off on the new motor, I'd say. It wasn't just that the vagina car looked ugly, right? There were other factors playing into this ugly vagina car.
Oh.
For example, when people saw the vagina car, it didn't live up to their expectations, either of a car or a vagina.
Right?
The company created... it fell short of both.
Mm. Okay.
It was a bad car and an unusable... a difficult vagina. Okay.
We've got a combined age of 89, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so when people saw the car, it didn't live up to the expectations the company created in the prior months with its lavish advertising campaign, right? People were expecting something amazing, something revolutionary, not a steel vagina. They weren't expecting that. It was a curveball.
They wanted a Jetson car.
And they got a steel
they
vagina.
They got steel Lady Garden.
Lady Garden. They didn't want that.
No.
What they got was a product that shared its engineering and bodywork with other Ford models.
Quite the disappointment.
I mean, really, it's a freaking...
It's a Ford.
It's a fraud.
Oh, I like what you've done there.
Because it sounds like Ford.
Yeah.
Also, at the time of the launch, the US was in recession.
Ah.
And at first, Edsel offered only its most expensive models. This was just at the time when other car makers were discounting last year's models.
Mm, bad time to launch.
Not only is it an ugly steel vagina, it's an overpriced ugly steel vagina.
None of us want that.
Another problem after the car was launched was that even though it was a Ford product, the name Ford couldn't be found anywhere on the car. Maybe they printed it on the clitoris.
We'd never know.
This was deliberate, of course, because Ford wanted it to be a standalone brand.
Mm.
But this was a standalone brand without any perceived history or heritage.
Well, it had no history.
Had no history, just a big old ugly car. Ford alienated its established customer base.
Fools!
They probably didn't even know, I suppose, did they? They didn't even know it was a Ford. Just this probably ugly car has just arrived.
If it's just come up as the Edsel, people will be, who's this young whippersnapper?
Exactly.
We like our Chrysler, we know them, they've got history, heritage.
Yeah.
Who's this Edsel?
Not this ugly fireplace on wheels with a front-mounted vagina. We have to mention one final thing here that caused Ford problems.
Go on, Phil.
And we've talked about it a bit before, but it's the name Edsel.
Ah, yes.
Ford's advertising agency provided 6,000 potential names to Ford. 6,000?
That's
basically a book of baby names, isn't it? But they ignored all of them and went with Edsel. Even though it was named after the son of Henry Ford, Henry Ford's grandson really opposed the name.
Oh, okay.
He said, Phil,
I do not want my father's good name spinning around on thousands of hubcaps.
I mean, you're not mentioning it specifically that it looks like a vagina there. It seems like a missed opportunity to me.
I do not want my father's good name to be associated with a gigantic, expensive steel vagina. Not anymore.
But... Before they settled on the name Edsel, one of the Ford executives decided to ask a poet.
Ah!
Always ask a poet
Never
for a car name.
Never ask a poet anything.
That's right.
That's the golden rule I learnt very early on in life. Never ask a poet. And I think it wasn't like a poet that the exec knew about.
Oh,
I think
right.
It was the wife of his assistant's favourite poet. So he's just gone,
oh.
Oh, right. So what? Your wife likes this poet? Cool, we'll ask her.
All right, so friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
The poet was Pulitzer Prize-winning Marianne Moore. Do you know any of her poems?
No.
She came up with a variety of names, and I love all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Bodily. Marvellous. All of them better names, I think, for the Ford Edsel. The Hurricane Aquila.
Nice, I like that.
The Mongoose Civic.
Not sure about Mongoose.
Mongoose Civic. The Ford Fabergé.
Oh, quality. Fabergé quality. Yeah.
The Thundercrester.
I like that.
Thundercrester sounds like a sledge. When I was like five, I would have written the Thundercrester on the side of my sledge. And my personal favourite, I think everybody's favourite for a car, the Utopian Turtle Top.
That's brilliant.
Name of a sweater.
The Utopian Turtle. Wow.
That would be a sweater that just fits so well.
I think Marianne Moore was either on a lot of drugs or taking the piss by this stage.
I think Summit, the Thundercrester, that is taking the piss, isn't it? Driving myself a Thundercrester. But even though Utopian Turtle Top is by far a better name for a car than the Ford Edsel, they called it the Edsel. Even though it wasn't massively popular within the company. In fact, the exec who had asked Marianne Moore for suggestions wrote to her again when the name Edsel was decided upon to tell her about the company's decision. His letter contains the following postscript, Phil.
I know you will share your sympathies with us.
So he didn't like it either.
Overegging it a little bit.
All right.
The name didn't sit well with the public either. In simple terms, they found it didn't roll off the tongue
it
easily.
It doesn't, does it? It
doesn't sound cool.
Edsel, Marina, Marina.
I mean, starting anything with an E is not really cool, is it? Like a cool thing to start with S's and T's and A's, and they like punchy letters. Okay, but you get the point when you consider that the advertising agency had just given them choices such as Corsair.
Perfect.
Pacer.
Perfect.
And Ranger.
Good.
Pacer's good, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Pacer, Corsair, Ranger.
Yeah.
Edsel.
Edsel. Edsel's like, come on, Edsel. Edsel is like one of your children who won't put his shoes on, isn't it? Everyone else has got their shoes on, Edsel. We're going to the park. Put your freaking shoes on.
Can I have a drink of cola bar?
It's okay. Edsel can go into the clergy.
Mr. Ed.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, okay. No, when you think about it. Yeah,
maybe.
Mr. Same sort of time, isn't it?
But maybe we're being too harsh, Phil.
Well.
Maybe the people who bought the car loved it. After all, it wasn't a bad car. Some of them maybe were in the market for a fireplace. And it has a lot of technical innovations for its time.
Well, that's all well and good, Phil. But those who did buy the Edsel quickly found out that it was plagued with shoddy workmanship.
Oh, so it's a badly made steel vagina car.
Yeah. Reports of flaws with the car surfaced quickly.
Right.
In the early models, this was primarily due to quality control.
Mm.
The Edsel was produced along the same production lines as other Fords. So when Ford workers found an Edsel coming along the production line, they often found that the task of having to drop their tools and replace them with ones that fitted the Edsel was really time-consuming and a pain in the arse.
Yeah.
Couple that with the fact that workers were expected to accommodate the Edsel within their working day with no adjustments to their hourly quota of producing other Fords, you can see that they probably didn't care much about it. Imagine that. You say you've got to produce 10, you've got to produce 10 Fords an hour.
Yeah.
We're going to throw a Ford Edsel into the thing that will slow down your production but that won't affect you still got to produce 10 an hour they're going to bodge these Edsels
and you're not getting paid any more money
plus
a lot of these car workers will be blokes who don't know their way around a vagina car.
The short of this is that quality control wasn't great.
No.
Many Edsels left the factory unfinished.
Yeah.
It wasn't uncommon for dealers to take delivery of cars and then find a note attached to the steering wheel telling them which parts were missing.
Wow.
These parts would then be in the boot along with instructions on how to fit them.
Bloody hell, that's amazing.
And the trouble is this was compounded because the dealership mechanics had no additional training for the Edsel. So they weren't even that sure how to fix the bits that were given to them with the instructions on how to fix them.
I think it's wicked. I know I've already made this joke, but I do think it's wicked that a car that people said that that's like a vagina, men have no idea how to deal with. They don't know which bits go where. They don't know how it works. Oh, Jesus Christ.
As drivers got to use the car, they also found fault with some of the features and the basic design.
Right.
On the dashboard, there was a new push-button automatic transmission selector, which when you think, 1958, yeah, that's pretty, very, you know, changing, yeah, changing gear by finger.
That's right. Driving the 1958 Edsel is as easy as flicking a light switch. For Edsel's exclusive new Teletouch drive shifts electrically at a touch. It's a new idea that puts shifting where it belongs, so you can keep both hands safely at the wheel. And look, you can shift and turn the wheel at the same time, for the control remains stationary, which makes Edsel the world's easiest car to handle.
But that proved to be problematic because it was situated next to the horn.
Oh.
Drivers often found themselves changing gear when they wanted to sound the horn, or sounding the horn when they wanted to change gear. Ah, lovely. Nothing funnier than the horn. A comedy horn. Fabulous. There were also problems with the electrics on those super transmissions, causing them to sometimes fail or make automatic unpredictable changes of gear. I quite like that idea.
Just like, yeah, just
you want to change gear.
Yeah.
You accidentally press the horn.
Yeah.
And then the car changes gear for you.
Yeah, from fourth into second and blows the engine out of the frack. This car is an absolute piece of shit.
It
right?
is, isn't it? But I think one of my favourite faults I read about is the taillights of the early models, because the way they were shaped, it meant that at a distance, they look like arrows pointing in the opposite direction to the turn being made.
That is literally the worst of all scenarios,
That's
isn't
tremendous.
It? Wow.
But it wasn't all doom and gloom, was it, Phil?
No. No. Many people liked the steel vagina car. Because despite all of this, Ford sold 64,000 Edsels in its first year.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Even though this was below expectations, it was still the second largest ever launch for any new car brand.
Okay, so things are looking up.
Things are looking up.
Yay. Were they looking up, though?
No.
Oh.
Because even though the second biggest launch ever for a new car brand saw them selling 64,000 cars, Ford had predicted selling 200,000 cars.
More than double, almost three times as much.
Yes, this is true. Also, in the following year, 1959, those sales figures dropped considerably to just under 45,000 units.
God, that's nothing, is it?
Or cars, in this instance. And it was that year, only the second year of the Edsel's production, that Ford took the decision to bin the car.
Aww.
When the company took the decision to cancel in November 1959, sales were less than half the company's projected break-even point.
God, they've not even made their money back.
Worse than an Edinburgh show, mate. In short, Ford was hemorrhaging money, trying to keep the car afloat. The actual overall loss to Ford on the Edsel was $350 million.
That's a lot of money.
That is the equivalent of $2.3 billion in today's money.
Stone me, that's even more money.
Nearly bankrupted them.
Wow.
Nearly bankrupted them.
Nothing really rams home to the general public how much money you've lost unless you use the words hemorrhaging money.
Hemorrhaging, yeah.
Hemorrhaging money is the worst thing you can do with
money. It really is, isn't it? So, Phil, aftermath me up. What was the aftermath of the Ford vagina car Edsel?
Well, they lost a shed load of money. They got rid of the vagina car.
Yep.
But surprisingly, nobody in Ford lost their job over it. They all just went on to do other things. But there was one very influential Ford man during this whole debacle who ended up being very, very influential outside of Ford.
Oh, Hugh Hefner?
No. Robert McNamara.
Oh, fucking hell.
Was brought in by Ford just after World War II and quickly rose through their ranks, becoming president of the corporation in 1960. Incidentally, the first president of a Ford Motor Company from outside the Ford family.
I like Robert McNamara.
I like him, but...
Nice glasses.
A very smooth man. Mm. I think if I was a housewife or a lady walking around 1960s America... Yeah. I'd have been right up for a bit of Robert McNamara action.
Definitely.
Very good operator. Mm,
the thinking woman's crumpet.
Very much so. Much like Alexander Armstrong would be today. Anyway, this chap, Robert McNamara, he left Ford.
Right.
He had his fingers in the Edsel pie. Mm. That's fine. But he left Ford. But the thing is, I get that there might be some people out there who don't know who Robert McNamara is.
Yeah.
He left Ford and became JFK Secretary of Defense, playing a huge role during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he was arguably the prime architect of the Vietnam War. After Kennedy's assassination, he continued to be Secretary of Defense under President Johnson, eventually ending up as President of the World Bank. So he did all right for himself. He's a fascinating character, really, really interesting guy, Robert McNamara. And, you know, nobody in any American political scenario in the 60s, and let's face it, that was a turbulent decade. He is central. Well worth reading up on, Robert McNamara. Fascinating character.
I'm watching The Fog of War, which is very good.
Very good. Really like him, actually. And not just sexually.
Mainly sexually.
Mainly sexually. It's that swept back hair and the glasses, isn't it?
The swept back hair.
Yeah. You see, here's a man I would trust, even though I know I couldn't trust him.
Yeah. You'd want to not trust him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Saucy. Mm. Saucy McNamara. Okay. So what about today?
Well, more than half a century after its spectacular failure, Edsels have become highly collectible.
Because they do look different, don't they? They're really weird.
By now, you know, now 50s cars are all amazing.
Yeah.
Only about 10,000 of them survived today. Obviously, hardly any made.
So they're scarce as well, scarce, which always bumps up the price.
Yeah, not cheap. A mint condition Edsel convertible would cost you about 75 grand. And a normal one, probably looking at about 30 grand.
Bloody hell. Would you buy one?
If I could afford to...
You'd buy all the others first, wouldn't you? Like
the cool ones.
If you were going to pay money for a classic 50s car, you're not going to go straight in with this
vagina. I don't know. Wouldn't you buy one that's got everything about classic American 50s cars and a little bit of...
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I quite like them. I don't actually think they're that ugly.
They are. I think it is ugly.
Do you?
Yeah. It is that front grille.
Okay, well, we'll put a couple of pictures on Twitter and we'll do an ugly or not poll.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And we'll see what people think.
Ford Edsel, ugly or not. So, that was the story of the Ford Edsel, a car that was supposed to be a Jetsons car, but turned out to be a great big steel fireplace vagina nobody bought. So, Phil, Ford Edsel, our fault or God's fault?
Ford's fault. Not Robert McNamara.
No.
That lovely, silky man had nothing to do with it.
No, but he did have stuff to do with the Cuban Missile Crisis, which
very
is
heavily.
Arguably, a more difficult thing to get over, isn't it?
Well, it worked out well.
Yeah, I suppose so. So, got any admin you want to get over?
Yes. If you do like this podcast, please do us a favour and tell people about it. Be that by social media or good old mouth to mouth. Is that right or is it word to mouth?
Well,
mouth to mouth.
In a previous episode, we said mouth to mouth a lot and I was listening to it going, that does mean like life-saving. That's a life-saving procedure. We mean word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah, not French kissing.
Right. You can't French kiss knowledge of this podcast into people's brains.
But if you want to give it a try and it's consensual... Please do.
Enthusiastic consent. That's what we need if you're going to be giving people mouth-to-mouth podcast information.
If you feel inclined, we'd be so grateful if you fancied leaving us a review on iTunes. We genuinely do get quite excited when we see a new review. And every one of them helps us with sort of podcast algorithms that we don't understand. But
don't try to understand, really.
No, don't want to understand, but we do like getting the reviews.
I've noticed that we've got enough reviews now for iTunes to give us a rating. That's a new thing.
Yeah. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook.
Lovely.
Or on Twitter, @CBWallop.
Cool.
Or on Instagram, @WallopBallop. bang. As I said in the last podcast, our preferred form of communication is Twitter, but don't let that stop you reaching out to us however you want. We really genuinely do love hearing from you.
Okay, so thank you so much for listening. That was episode 19 of the Crash Bang World. We will be back in 2 weeks' time discussing
the Bhopal gas disaster.
A really bleak one for
horrible
next time.
One.
Probably the biggest death toll we've had, I should imagine.
I think it is, yeah.
Huge death toll, so get ready
and
for
we know
that.
A lot more about it than we do the Salang.
Yes, we know loads more about it than we do the Salang tunnel fire.
So you're safe with us.
You're safe. We've got all the info. We're infoed up. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. We will see you in 2 weeks with another podcast about people being gassed and that.
Did I tell you I've had two Fiat Unos? No? All right, bye.